following show contains material that may not be suitable for children under the age of 16. The views and opinions are not necessarily accepted nor followed by the Haunted Voices Radio Network. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
You're listening to Airstrike Radio with the two madmen of radio.
Are you ready?
Coming to you live from beautiful downtown Virginia, Minnesota, it's Airstrike Radio with your hosts, Jill Sturgis and Todd Bates.
Welcome to another edition of Airstrike Radio. We somehow survived the last one, and I'm here, as always, my good friend and partner, Todd Bates. Man, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great today.
Good.
A little chilly.
A little chilly? How cold is it there?
And I'm telling you, it's just cold. It's freezing.
Well, when you're talking about taking heaters and shoving them where God never intended, yeah, it's cold.
Yeah, it was bad. The space heater's just not keeping up behind me here. I got to get it closer. That's all there is to it. It's a little chilly. But other than that, man, everything's great, man. It's been an awesome day. I got a lot of stuff done.
That's what you're saying. You're like a madman.
Yeah, I just went crazy.
You're not on the meth again, are you?
No. I mean, well, no. No. Oh, man, yeah, you got me.
Okay, yeah, I got... No, you're just fueled by Folgers and Marlboro.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that drive. The motivation's back.
Yeah.
You know? And that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
A lot of today. A lot of stuff organized and things suggested and thrown out there, writing a few, you know, few articles here and there that I'll release in 10, 15 years from now so they don't make any sense whatsoever. All kinds of good stuff like that.
They're in a vault. They go in the Todd Bates vault.
There's one thing.
What's that?
You remember, you know, last week I was in the hospital, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I had some awesome buttons that I could push with your thumb.
Yeah, the morphine pump. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, morphine Demerol thing going on there.
You had a cocktail.
And I have a yellow notepad. All right, my yellow notepad. I didn't turn the TV on once.
A drug-induced notepad session.
Yeah, and I wrote this stuff down in a notepad, mm-hmm. Okay? And it looked, I was looking through it today. And I was going to keep it, and I was going to attempt to read some of this on the air, but then I decided, no, that's just not going to happen.
It's gibberish? Is that you're saying?
It is beyond gibberish.
Wow.
I mean, I think when people are on that stuff, they can literally write in Mandarin Chinese.
That does not surprise me. I've seen you do some great picture writing in the past.
It was hilarious. It made no sense.
Did you turn your wife and say, me Chinese, me play joke, me go pee-pee in your Coke?
I mean, I had no idea. When you see it like that and what you did, it's like, wow, man.
Madness.
I saw it today when I was typing up a few things.
Did you feel like that you had a glimpse into the mind of madness there for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's never good. That's never good.
No, it's not. It's but it was fun.
But that's what makes we're the Mad Men of Radio, man, of course. If we didn't do that,
mm-hmm.
You know, no one will respect us anymore.
They won't. They will laugh at us. They'll throw stones.
We'd become caricatures of our former selves.
It'd be bad.
It would not be good. Not good at all.
Your day decent?
My day was great, man. I have been just really swamped. I'm working on I'm a paranormal investigator as well. And so I was called in on a case that was, well, It's been a really nasty one, I have to say so myself. The nastiest one of my 17-year career.
Really?
Oh, by far. By far.
Well, they're not fun.
No. This one involves, you name it, involves it. Mm-hmm. Everything from poltergeist activity to biting to hitting to throwing crap. I mean, it's crazy. Absolutely nuts.
You got to be really careful with something like that. You got to handle that in the right approach, or just bad things are going
to
happen.
Exactly. And you also got to know when to hand it off if it gets too much.
Man. But tomorrow, they're going to get to know all about it.
They are. Tomorrow, they're going to get to know all about it, because I'm going to go ahead, risk life and limb, going on a 2-day paranormal investigation of the Not So Fun House. And I will be, well, on remote on Haunted of Voices and see what we can't get done. Wouldn't it be killer, Todd, to get activity on the cell phone?
See, that would. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. We're going to have Annette Martin, psychic detector. She's just awesome. And she's going to see if she can attempt to connect at your remote location there, see if she can pick anything up. Like maybe put it on speakerphone, something like that, and have her speak. And see if she can, if they'll communicate with her, see if anything happens. The EVP sessions you're going to be doing, we're going to be doing these live on the air here. That's going to be awesome stuff.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun, but you know, it's really going to be interesting to see what happens when Annette actually is with us and able to really be in the home with me, as it were. And I'd be lying if I wasn't a little afraid.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't. I'd be mad as hell if you weren't afraid. You gotta have that.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid, man. Little afraid of what Annette's gonna say. That's gonna tip the hand of whatever this is and make it go crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it could be extremely ugly. These malevolent cases are nothing to play around with. I mean, I've referred a ton of them. There's some I've done, and due to the repercussions of it, I won't do them again. And there's certain things you just don't deal with.
Well,
move on.
It's interesting that when we were talking today that you said that maybe partly. As many of you know, I don't know if you've ever made this public or not, but you have Crohn's disease, don't you, Todd?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that has been plaguing you for quite some time.
Yeah, it has.
Do you think that you dealing with all these malevolent spirits maybe wore you down to be more susceptible?
Yeah. That plays a key part, because I was extremely healthy before I started doing a particular known location. And after that location is when everything hit. And that's an immune system disease is what that is.
Your body attacks itself, right?
Right. So that's really what it's doing, is my immune system is attacking a certain parts of my body. And I think that could play a key role in that. Yeah, I mean it's a way of saying, aha, you know, here's to you, because the other people that I've worked with at that location have come down with ailments as well. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, and it seems to be either brain related or abdominal related kind of you know, diseases.
Yeah. Hopefully, I come out of this unscathed.
Yeah, it'll take a few to go in and out of there. I think something like that sinks in, but it could play a part in it. It's risky. They're always one step ahead of you.
Yeah, this is unreal. I've never dealt with something this intelligent.
No,
it's really kind of freaky, because it's almost to the point where it's smarter than I am.
And they are. They are, and it's with what it's doing there, the kind of what you described, it does not want anybody around. And once there's people around there, it's going to do everything in its power to get them out. That's just, it doesn't want to be bothered.
Well, you know what? We could always, Todd, have the very first live possession on the radio, if all else fails.
Yeah. Yeah, we can always do that. Live possession, bring some Alka-Seltzer tablets, whatever it takes, some pea soup. We're just supposed to make it,
the remote just went bad, folks. Joel is now possessed. He's speaking in tongues. He is puking up the pea soup. Folks, the humanity, I think I just lost a co-host. If you'd like a job at Haunted Voices Radio.
Call now.
Yes, you will be just despondent for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to be careful when you do something like that. You want to, you know, even if you're not a religious person, use the faith. It's not going to hurt anything. Use the faith.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've done it. It helped me, you know, use the faith. Mm. And that's because you don't know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with something that is strong, and you can't even see it. So it's like, you know, Ray Charles going up against Mike Tyson. You know, I mean,
wow.
It's just not good.
Stevie Wonder versus Godzilla. Sunday.
It's not a good combo. I don't know who that would promote something like that, but, well, I would if I had the money.
Well, I would too. Whoa, Stevie Wonder's down for the count. That did not take long. Look, he's even stopped shaking his head. I just called to say I got my ass kicked.
Oh, my God.
Where am I, folks? Holy crap, I could see again. Holy crap, Michael Jackson was ugly. No.
Oh. Oh, okay, here we go. Here's a question that popped up. Do you use kosher salt packets for protection ever?
I do use kosher salt on my burger.
I don't use that stuff at all.
Mm.
There's so much myth behind that. You're supposed to line your doorways with it, put it underneath your bed.
Yeah, sea salt, kosher salt, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of myths, misconceptions out there. A lot of people are hitting me up right now, Todd, worried about me, worried about my well-being, making sure that I'm going to be okay. A lot of people are saying that they're going to send positive thoughts my way the whole time I'm at this location.
Thank you. It helps.
You know, definitely. Guys, everybody, yeah, definitely think good about me. Think, you know, because I'm really, at the end of the day, this is really trying to help somebody that's dealing with this issue. Someone that's displaced from their home because of it, and they are living really a nightmare.
Yeah, just one thing you have to remember is you have to know when to back away.
You're
not expert if you back away.
I've been consulting with Father Ashcraft about this case, and he had a lot of great insight, and he is ready to take it at a moment's notice.
Well, he might have to.
You know, and deal with it. But yeah, on the upside, there's always an upside. It's going to make for great radio. It's going to be a lot of fun having Annette Martin with us. Always. She's always a blast.
Oh, yeah.
And tonight's going to be another one of those shows that's going to be a blast. We have Sean O'Rourke on the show tonight. And he is an actor, better known in his movies, you know, such as Butchered, the hit TV show Port City PD. And he just seems like an all-around great guy.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. Really, really good show. Really good show.
A lot of fun. So, go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, one thing I want to get out there, folks, the donation situation, we got that going on. Non-for-profit, of course, we're in need as always.
Absolutely. Absolutely we are.
You guys can drop a dime over there at hauntedvoices.com, right there in the upper left-hand corner, in the Make a Donation section. That'd be most appreciated. If you guys can't afford it, that's cool. It's understandable. It's tough times all around. We're just trying to get everything situated here so we get all nice and caught up, get ahead, and not have to worry about all these financial burdens and things like that. So, if you can donate, that's great. You can send it the check of money order directly to us here. The address is listed there on the contact us section there at hauntedvoices.com. So donate today, and thank you in advance for all your guys' support. Okay.
Yeah, definitely, everybody. I can't stress what Todd said enough. This is a lot like public television in a lot of ways. We depend upon you to keep bringing you these type of programs. Because, quite honestly, it's very expensive to keep a station like this up and running. But, like, I digress. Todd said it better than I ever could. Thank you, Todd, very, very much for doing that for us. And I love it here. I love broadcasting here. And once again, I want to thank you for allowing me to be here.
Oh, yes. My pleasure. I'm glad you're here.
Ah, it's a lot of fun, man. You get to have two nights off. What are you talking about?
It's awesome. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. A lot of kids here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Little kids staring at me. I just don't know why.
Mommy, staring.
Why does he have a heater? Why is a heater up there, Mommy?
Look at his headphones, Mommy. It's Mickey.
Look. Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse. I'm over here, Mickey Mouse.
Shut up, kid. Leave me alone.
Oh, geez. You should have saw his face. Man, you just scared the hell out of him.
Did I really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's running now, and I don't think he sat on a chocolate bar.
No, he's gone.
Run, little boy, run. That's right. I do not like children. Go away.
No, I'm telling you, if any time during this investigation I hear, get out, I'm leaving. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if something pops off, hey, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Hey, it's been fun. Hopefully you get this house. Have fun trying to sell it. See you later.
Don't pull like one of those idiots. So why are you wanting to stab me with this knife in this kitchen? You know.
Yes, why did you just throw that butcher knife at me?
Yeah, common sense.
That's a whole nother show. We should devote either one night of Airstrike or one night of Haunted Voices just to dispelling misconceptions.
It'll happen. That's a good idea.
You know?
That's a great idea. It really is. Yeah. We can do.
Put to bed. Put to bed once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is it true that black guys have bigger hands than white men?
Yeah, hands. Hands.
I did say hands, yes. Or why do they call it a TV set when you only get one? And an even better question is, before they put someone to death with lethal injection, why do they use those little alcohol swabs to sanitize the area? Does it really matter?
Yeah. You know, I don't go for that. Me, personally, I am a $2, I got the $2 bullet theory.
You know, a 22, I won't even go into it.
Yeah, they go way too far with the stuff. It costs more to execute an inmate than it does to keep them housed for the rest of their life.
True.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's really a budget plan.
It is.
Ronald McDonald?
Yes, well, I bet you the government, you know, obviously they're good at spending money.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they do. I mean, you know what, Todd? As we sit, I owe $6,000, you owe $6,000, my kids owe $6,000, your kids own $6,000 a piece. They owe this to the government.
Well, see, it is true. I used to work for the Auditor of State's office in Indiana, right? I was a computer operator. My wife worked on all their purchase orders and vouchers and all that stuff, all the things they would buy that would come through the auditor's office. And you hear the old joke, you know, oh, $200 on a hammer, all that kind of. This is true. Mm. She had a purchase order come in, I think it was $10,000 or $15,000 for toilet paper.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Toilet paper.
Wow.
At the woman's prison. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That must be some hell of a good toilet paper.
Yeah. For toilet paper. Unbelievable.
You know, the government is so wasteful, man. It's unreal. You know, too big to fail. We have to pay these people billions of dollars because they're too big to fail. I say let them fail. It's business. You don't see the government bailing us out.
No.
You think the government's going to come and give Haunted Voices a bailout?
No. And see, that would have been a shot. People were really hoping for that. They could have paid, you know, over 18 Americans pretty decent money to catch up, which would have raised the economy even more than bailing out the banks.
Yes. I mean, very true.
It just didn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense because it's much better to give Joe Public. Let's just say they gave Joe Public each $2,000 to go out and spend on whatever they wanted to. That would stimulate it way more than bailing out GM or Chrysler or any of the other ones.
Exactly. They're not using their heads.
No.
They're putting themselves in debt because, well, they're idiots.
And how, man. They definitely... I'm stuck on that word today. And how.
And how.
That is whack.
Is it whack? Okay.
Okay.
Man.
Well, anyhow, getting back on track, we have Sean O'Rourke coming in the show tonight. We're going to be talking about his various roles, whether being butchered, whether being Port City PD, all sorts of other great stuff this guy's up to. He's also into anime. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does a lot of voiceover work for anime. He's a really multi-talented guy. He does a lot of stuff. He's always doing something. He's also manager, one of the owners and managing partner of 11 Bravo Productions.
11.
11 Bravo Productions. That's right. Not 9, not 10, but 11.
You got a lot going on.
Yes, he does. A lot going on, but we'll be right back. Well, maybe after this.
From the imagination of author Stephen Wren, radio producer for Haunted Voices Radio, and the director of Tennessee Paranormal, a new fiction series based on pirates and the paranormal, Jeremiah Balloon and the Amulet of the Siren. According to a recent review by ParanormalNews.com, there are misty visitors, ghost pirates, orbs of light, astral projection, secret societies, spiritualistic entities, missions of the human soul, which make it a truly enjoyable read. Now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million, Tower Books, and more. Or visit Jeremiah on the web at jeremiahbloom.com or the author, Stephen Wren, at stephenwren.com. Jeremiah Balloon, an amulet of Osiris.
Devil. for professional meters for your next investigation? Look no further than Alpha Lab Scientific Instruments, makers of AC and DC milligauss meters, earth magnetometers, and the widely used Tri-Field Natural EM meter. This meter actually detects changes in extremely weak static electric and magnetic fields, and signals with both a tone and movement of a needle-type gauge if either the electric or magnetic field changes from previous levels. A must-have for any paranormal researcher. For all your field meter needs, visit Alpha Lab Scientific Instruments at trifield.com. T-R-I-Field.com.
You're listening to Airstrike Radio Online with your hosts, Joel Sturgis and Todd Bates. Airstrike Radio is your home for alternative talk radio, the show for everything from pop culture to politics and all things in between. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here at airstrikeonline.com.
And welcome back to Airstrike Radio, infesting the airwaves as we always do. And we are talking tonight with incomparable Sean O'Rourke. Sean is also, you know him from Butcher. You know him from Port City PD. And finally, we have a chance to speak with him. Hey, Sean, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. Joel, Todd, how you guys doing?
Doing fantastic.
Heck yeah, so man. Much- And I hear crickets. Hey,
I'm sorry. Can you still hear me?
Yeah,
we sure
can.
We sure can hear you now. Beauty of live radio, folks. Sometimes we have a couple glitches every now and again, but we are here live in Airstrike Radio with, like I said earlier, Mr. Sean O'Rourke, and we're talking, well, all things movie with him, all things about Lab and Bravo Productions, all things about what he's up to. And Sean, what are you up to these days?
Well, I've been really busy juggling a couple of projects. I've been promoting the release of the new film, Butchered. I'm really excited about it. It's a horror film. It comes out on DVD nationwide February 9th. So I've
Killer.
Been doing the rounds and having fun promoting that. And then coinciding with that, I've got a television series that I produce. It's a police drama. It's an independent cop show. We shot 9 episodes of it, and I think it started airing last Friday. It did, on AMG TV, reaching about 70 million households. So,
ooh, wow, that's not bad. That's not bad at all there, Sean.
Yeah,
70 million households? That's crazy. That's more than we're reaching right now. We're only reaching about 6 million.
Well, we got to hope that 70 million people are tuning in. You know, I mean, we're broadcasting, through satellite, so we're reaching those households, and hopefully people are tuning in and they're promoting the show well, and and it works out for us. And I'm in prep right now on a new horror film, so it's juggling so much. And I got up at 4 this morning and was on the road for 12 hours from Michigan and just made it back to North Carolina. So it's been a crazy day.
Yuck.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you get home and do some radio with us. Jeez.
Yeah, I'll talk about a cherry on that crap Sunday.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was watching the temperatures go from, 18 degrees and then up to 20 and then up to, until finally I got back down to North Carolina and we're in the mid-40s. I've had time to let my body thaw out a little bit from Michigan, so it's
literally
fun.
That's unreal.
Yeah, that is just the climate change is crazy. I live in Minnesota, and it is right now we're sitting at 25 degrees, and that'll change in about 10 minutes to like minus a million.
Yeah, that's too cold. And the thing about it, I'm not a cold guy. Like I should have been born on a tropical island. I actually live at the beach in Wilmington, North Carolina, home of Screen Gem Studios, which is the largest studio complex on the East Coast. They just built a huge new soundstage out there. It's got the largest water tank east of Los Angeles. And we got some crazy rumors flying around down there in Wilmington, North Carolina, about maybe they shooting part of Pirates of the Caribbean 4 down there. So I don't know. We'll have to see.
Interesting. You got to make sure you're part of that.
Yeah. You know, it's. I just hope my crew that I use all the time to shoot my projects doesn't go off. I mean, we've got, you know, they've shot about 350 different feature films in North Carolina. It's actually one of the busiest movie-making states, and then television series. Well, I worked on a couple of HBO series. And,
sure.
And so, yeah, I actually, have you guys seen Eastbound and Down?
Eastbound and Down?
Yeah, I believe I have. I sure have. And also one thing I want to touch on while we're talking about shows and movies and all that kind of stuff, can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the 11 Bravo Productions?
Yeah, 11 Bravo Productions. Well, you know, that was a production company that I started with several business partners in 2006. And, you know, we wanted to use the resources that we had there in Wilmington, North Carolina, because there's such a huge crew base. And I wanted to start off small. So one day I was jogging with my one of my other producers, Charles Stewart Jr., and we were jogging, and we were like, well, let's do a small project. So 2006, 2007 was when podcasting actually kind of started to take off for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we wanted to do a podcast series. And, you know, we actually were the first video podcast series that was out that was like a television show for the Internet, and that was in 2006. It was before every major network just dumped all their stuff. And, you know, we made it, I think we were well within the top, like, 50 iTunes podcasts that were downloaded.
Oh, wow.
And that was literally in April of 2006. And by May, I think, we got swallowed up because there was, like, 500 shows that was just dumped into iTunes. So what we did was we were trying to come up with an idea. I wanted to do a Blade Runner series, Internet television show based on Blade Runner, because... You know, it was the Internet, and we figured, you know, we'd just have fun, kind of like a fan film, like a Star Wars fan film or something like that. And then Charles got wise, and he said, you know, well, you know, we really can't do anything with that. It's copywritten. And he said, why don't we just do a cop show? And we came up with the idea of Port City PD. So Port City PD actually was shot for the Internet audience before it was ever on television.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you find that the Internet is actually a bigger audience at the end of the day than the television audience?
Well, you know, we had, when we first launched Port City PD, we had about 4 million downloads. Now, this was in 2006, before, you know, anybody could put up a YouTube video of, you know, a little kid falling in a hole or a cat running in circles that would get 2 million downloads. And we got 4 million downloads, we were very popular. Yeah. And, it was fun. And, you know, and then we caught the eye of Adam Curry, who he used to have Pod Show was the name of his network, and then he changed it to Mevio. He rebranded it, but he caught us, Port City PD, and realized what we were doing, the potential, and he threw us a little bit of money to keep making the show, and then it just kind of fizzled out, and the show just kind of sat there for a little while on a shelf. But, you know, we reached 4 million people. We gave away the show for free. And in hindsight, I always think, God, you know, if we charged just a penny or 3 cents for the show back then, you know, we would have had some cash, but we didn't. And but then we actually had to go through a huge process to get it up to network television standards where we, you know, we were originally shooting for the video iPod, which is like a 2-inch screen. And so we weren't doing lots of wide shots and we had to go back and just take a look at the show and almost redo it from scratch. We were doing our own Lucas special edition, if you will, recolor correcting, you know, re-editing, and full sound design from the ground up, because, it, you know, people were just listening with earbuds. to the show. So we had to really give it some depth and get some good crew in there and redo the show for it to go on television. But 11 Bravo Productions started, it was just me and my buddy were jogging, and we wanted to come up with an idea that we could utilize the crew base when they weren't working. And, you know, Port City PD was shot on the weekends in the beginning until it got steam for us to go and do it on our own without, you know, borrowing people and actually paying people. So it's been pretty cool to see it grow.
That is a great story. It's kind of, well, you know, I don't want to say the underdog story, but it's one of those stories of the quote-unquote little guy making it further than you expected. I like those stories. I like people like that because they really work to get where they're at.
So what got you into acting and everything, Sean? I mean, there's got to be – was it movies as a kid? Did you have a favorite actor? What got you into that kind of role?
Well, you know, I'm an action guy, you know, and I've always loved action films. And what really got me into acting was when I was a kid, I saw Jaws, which is my favorite movie of all time, which I actually was able to kind of give some – pay some homage to my favorite movie with the film Butchered. I play a character in the film, I came up with the idea for Butchered for the horror film. I mean, it's a bunch of teens. They're saying their last goodbyes before they go off to college, and they go off to an island and to camp. But little do they know, the serial killer just escaped from a maximum security prison. And he's taking, he's hiding out on the same island. So, I play this character, this older brother of this, teen. And, I came up with a story and we did like a 7-page treatment. And then I gave it to my business partner, Sheila Brothers, and her writing partner, Roxanne Marchand. And they knocked out a script that was really, really good. It was solid. The one thing I've never liked about horror films is with the teen ones, they hack up people and you don't really get a chance to kind of get to know them. Even though it is a horror film, you really just want to see them get hacked up.
Pretty much.
I, as an actor, wanted a little bit more depth to the script.
Does the black guy die first?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Does the black guy die first?
No, he does not. No. It's funny that you say that because we've got some really great actors in there, and Rob Covington, who was one of the characters, he's an African-American character, and we've got another guy, Corey Broadwater, who's an African-American character. They you know, they're in the films, and about halfway through, one of them gets it, and towards the end, another one gets it. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, they all get it, so there's definitely no bias there with the killer.
Oh, no, just I remember the early 80s.
That was always...
The 80s films.
Say that again?
The 80s films, like the a lot of them, the only reason why I bring up that joke, because it is a long-running joke in the horror movie community, and they made plenty of satire jokes about it, is it always seems like that, you know, the poor African-American guy is the first out of the gate.
He's first.
No, it's true, and during the writing process, we were aware of that, and we all laughed and joked and said, no, our black guy's not going to die first. We're going to kill off some other people. We're going to go against the grain. But we were totally aware of that when the script was being written. We laughed, you know, about that ongoing Hollywood joke there.
Yeah. Well, when you're making... wait, I know we're stepping all over each other tonight. That's right. It's Stomp Thursday. That's right, folks. We are going to...
That's okay. I'm listening.
Excuse me for stepping on my poor Todd Bates' hands while he's trying to get into the conversation. I do apologize.
Don't worry about it. You're fine. You're good.
Stomped right on him. Then I kind of, Well, anyhow, as we talk about movies and films, we've had a lot of different directors and movie makers on the show. Everyone from... Well, we've had... Oh, boy. We've had Tim Ritter. We've had David Dakota. We have Lloyd Kaufman coming on, founder of Troma Films. And they all say...
Yeah, I did a movie with Lloyd. A while back. It was a horror film called The Cutting Room. And Lloyd had a cameo in it. I think I did it, and it was 2001. And it's funny because that movie, I always think, will haunt me one day. You know, you never want to do anything that I say, when you're sitting in Jay Leno's seat, or I would say Conan O'Brien, You never want to do anything that when they go, oh, well, here's a clip from your new movie, and then they play something that you cringe. And think that, although I had it was a wild experience working on that film. It was very trauma-esque, and with Lloyd in there, yeah, it was very interesting.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You didn't want to be part of Poultrygeist, The Night of the Chicken Dead?
Did you say Night of the Chicken?
No, you got to see it, Todd. You got to see it. It's a Lloyd Kaufman film. It was great. I loved it.
Man.
Well, you know, in this film, I think it was Trent Haga was in it too, as well. I think that's his name. I can't remember. It's been so long. But you know, there was the classic one of the characters' penis got cut off, and then later came back as a zombie, and then stuffed his penis into the mouth of the killer. It's bizarre.
Starring John Bobbitt.
Oh my God! On that note, after we talked about the penis stuffing zombies, we'll be right back. Right after this, folks, don't go away. More with Sean O'Rourke after this.
Every year, over 3 million healthy dogs and cats are put to death because there simply aren't enough homes for them. Thousands more die from abuse or neglect. Those are grim statistics, but there are things you can do to help. First, please spay or neuter your pets. There are low-cost spaying and neutering programs available to help you with this. Next, support animal shelters and welfare organizations. Donations of money are always welcome, but there are other ways you can help too. Donating an old blanket or unused insulin needles to a pet rescue may not seem like much, but something as simple as that can help a great deal. You can also donate your time as a volunteer. Animal shelters need help with everything from walking dogs to helping match people up with the perfect pet to taking photographs of the animals for adoption websites. Finally, if you have ever had a pet, you know how much they can enrich your life. If you have room in your home, lifestyle, and budget, please consider adopting another pet. For more information on what you can do to help, contact the Humane Society of the United States at www.humanesociety.org or your local animal shelter.
Sure, when it comes to sex, you're responsible, but now they're marketing big-size condoms, and frankly, you'd need a belt and suspenders to keep one on. Well, don't be embarrassed. Hot Dog House now offers regular-size condoms with big-size package names.
Bob, you dropped something from your wallet.
Oh, my God,
the Hindenburg.
Only kind I use.
Order your regular-size condoms from Hot Dog House with names that give you confidence. The Jolly Mean Giant, Cruise Missile, Pike's Peak, Superdome. Only you'll know the real story, but for a while.
So, why is there a munchkin riding in the Hindenburg?
Keep internet radio legal, affordable, and independent with LoudCity.com. Discover great music with over 500 channels to choose from, or become a DJ and stream your own music. For more information, visit LoudCity.com today.
What do you guys think of Airstrike Radio?
It's the only one I listen to.
I just like everything about it. It's just really funny because, I mean, I like to stay up with current events, but at the same time, I also like to laugh, so it's the best of both worlds.
Simple fact of the matter, they're, for one, down home, they like to go about doing community stuff, and then, of course, just the wildness that they have in there.
Definitely turned on.
Basically, they just do and say whatever they want.
They always are coming up with new stuff, new twists.
Thank you for your feedback. Remember to keep listening right here on Airstrike Radio Online as well as HVRNC.com. That's the Haunted Voices Radio Network. Airstrike Radio coming right back at you. That is right. Coming right back at you. I'm sorry. The banana penis has me. I'm sorry. That whole comment is relieving. It killed me. That was a perfectly timed one there, Sean. It was good. But you were telling me that there was a great story behind that, so why don't we go ahead and do that?
What, the story behind the banana, or...
Yes,
are we
please.
Talking about Butchered again?
All of it.
You said the description off air. We just got to get into
that. Yeah, that's right. Off air. That's right. Off air. We were talking about The Cutting Room, which was this movie I did back in 2001, and Lloyd Kaufman was in it, did a cameo, and they had this one guy. He was an actor, Langley McCarroll. He's a really good actor, and he was fun to work with, and he actually is. He plays a CSI guy on Port City PD. He's a really great actor, and I like working with him. And so, doing this movie, and he gets his penis cut off in the film, and they had the props guy. They sculpted out this perfect, beautiful looking penis. I mean, I know beautiful is a weird word, but it was
beautiful.
Perfect. It had
been, I have a beautiful one, by the way.
and then they put blood on it and everything, and then he came back to life as a zombie later on in the film, which was a weird twist at the end, but it's like a trauma film, so that's typical. And the person who cut off his penis, the killer, he actually shoved the sculpted banana penis into her mouth and choked her to death. And it was brilliant. and the gag went off perfect on set, no pun intended. And it was great. It was great. And that's my banana story. We were talking about Butchered too as well. When I was saying earlier that Jaws was my favorite film, I wanted to be honest. When I was naming the characters in the movie, the character I picked for myself was Brody. My little nod to Roy Scheider, who played Chief Brody. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I'm just agreeing with you. That was a great film.
Yep, I like Roy Scheider.
Yeah, God rest his soul. You know, I was kind of bummed when he passed away, but he had cancer in the bones and stuff. It was pretty, pretty rough. Anyway, my character dresses up. I mean, his clothes I picked was head-to-toe Robert Shaw as Quint. But you can't tell unless you really look for it. You know, I've got a military jacket on and a blue button-up and then the slacks and a cap. And you know, it's not until people get halfway through the movie that they go, but see, they have to know me, because if you know me, that I like that film, you'd know, oh man, look what he did. He dressed up kind of like Quint there. And so the character's name's Brody. The costume looks like Quint because he's a fisherman. So he's in a boat, and he actually gets to, I don't want to spoil it, but he gets to use a harpoon gun and things like that. And so it's a pretty, pretty cool character to play. And, you know, I was able to have the script. You know, I'm kind of a semi-hero in the film, but I won't give away the ending. But anyway, so yeah, it's my nods to my favorite film was in this movie, but very subtle. Only I and a few people would know, but now hopefully the world will know.
That's right. You totally hear first, or near first, right here on Airstrike Radio. Now, as we're talking about all these, I got to ask you, you're working anime. Was that hard? Doing Japanese anime.
I work in what? I'm sorry.
Do you
Japanese anime? You know the Japanese. Yeah, I do. I do both the hentai and the regular anime voice work. So I've done a couple of series that have been on Cartoon Network and things on Adult Swim, and then I do the Japan of Porn, which is what I call
what
it.
The?
It's actually called hentai anime.
Well, can you?
Let's rewind.
Yeah. No, I don't want to sound remiss here and miss anything, but. Did you just say Japanese anime porn?
Yeah. Okay. I know where they have they have a weird.
Sean,
when I talk about this,
Sean, how? I just have one question. I mean, you in that Japanese hentai, there can't be that many lines. What kind?
No, believe it or not, I get. I've done voices in over 30 animes, and I do tons of different voices and impersonations and stuff. And I'm usually not the guys that are having sex with the giant tentacles that are killing people in these hentai animes. No, seriously, that's how I describe it to people all the time. I say, well, it's like there's usually a giant tentacle that rapes a cartoon character, and it's always some little girl in a little girl outfit from school. And but I always play these characters that are within the cartoon that lead to whatever's happening. Like I played a gypsy in one, and I had this really old sort of voice like this, and I talk, and I had a little silver bar that I looked in, and so like I did things like that, and you know, and I've played everything. I mean, every character you could possibly imagine, as far as like creature and stuff. And I have a lot of fun doing the animes, and I actually got into it because my nephews were big into Pokemon back in the day.
When
it was big, and I did. I did the Crusher Joe series and the Vampire Princess Miyu series, and so I got into that because they liked the anime, and then it just pays so well that I couldn't turn down the porn.
Oh sure, I can't either. That's why I do it on the weekends.
Yeah, you know, it's a hobby. Yeah, I only do it for the article.
That's right. That's right. Well, quite honestly, they approached me and they said, "Hey, do you want to do a movie?" And it's one thing turning another, and next thing you know, they call me the Hedgehog, the Second Coming of the Hedgehog.
You did not just say the Hedgehog. Oh
well, you know, if not a hedgehog, look out for the giant tentacle.
Oh man.
But what's funny about the hentai is. Most of them are made like in Singapore, and see, porn is banned over there. What they do is they do it in animation, and that's how they are able to get aroused and that kind of stuff, is to watch the anime because it's illegal.
So, porn is illegal in Asia. Singapore.
Exactly, but a cartoon character having sex with a giant tentacle is okay.
Okay, see, that's like I don't know,
crazy.
Sick.
Go figure. I don't
know. Let's see. Let's just throw out the whole Adam and Eve table of love and relationships and have women raped by giant tentacles.
That's right. That's fun for the whole family.
It's wholesome fun because there's usually a rabbit or something small around it talking in a cute voice.
It gives a whole new meaning down the rabbit hole.
Oh, my God, you really go there. Wow.
I'm going to pull my spleen.
Oh, man.
You guys said wholesome fun.
We're trying to be serious about it. We're trying to be serious about zombies and with penises in their mouths and tentacles raping women. And here we are laughing. I'm sorry, Sean.
Well, listen. I've got the creme de la creme here, okay? The HBO series Eastbound and Down that stars Danny McBride and Will Ferrell. I just worked on the 6 episodes of that show, behind the scenes, in the production office, because I gotta eat in between whatever else I'm doing.
Sure.
So I'm always working on a show. And, the casting agency that was casting the show, had a job. They said, you know, we need somebody to be Danny McBride's ass double in 3 episodes. But here's the catch. They said you have to give yourself, he's giving himself steroids, and they wanted, the director, David Gordon Green, wanted a real hypodermic needle going into the ass and pumping in saline solution and the casting people refused, and I won't name them, but they refused to find any actor. They felt it was an insult. They said, I'm never going to do it. And I'm in the production office, and I said, hey, I'll put my ass out there and give myself a shot. So I had the privilege of being Danny McBride's ass double in 3 episodes of Eastbound and Down. But not only that, I gave myself 5, because we did 5 takes, and then what they did was, it's kind of a Rocky montage in the 3 episodes where he's going back into training because he's a baseball player, and so he was giving himself steroids. And so we did 5 takes, and the thing about Danny McBride's character on that show is he wears a thong, and he has the tan line. So I had to go to the makeup trailer. The makeup, woman, she was very nice. I've worked with her on other shows, but never in this capacity. But she looked at my ass, and, they put a spray tan on it, and I had a thong, and I had 3 different thongs for 3 different takes because they needed to put them in different episodes. And I gave myself five hypodermic needles. We had a doctor on set, and every needle was perfect and prepped and everything. And he handed it to me clean and sterile. But see, what they didn't know is I had a cat for 3 years that had diabetes. So I had given that cat insulin shots twice a day for 3 years. So giving a needle was not a big deal. But giving it to myself, I was like, well, am I really going to be able to pull this off? And then I was like, well, Harrison Ford did it in The Fugitive. I was like, well, screw that. I love Harrison Ford. I can do that. So I had the butterflies in my stomach and everything. We get ready to do the shot, and the camera's right up on my butt. This is great. And there's 40 crew around, 40 men and women, and there's everybody's watching because they were shocked. Oh, my God, Sean's really going to do the ass shot. And so we get ready to do it, and sure enough, the first one went in without a hitch, and I was like, oh, this is nothing. These guys are suckers because they paid me a stupid amount of money to do this bit. And we put the first needle in and pumped it in, and the DP was like, oh, this is great, but all the rest of the crew were turning away. They were so squeamish they couldn't watch me do it. And then the doctor said to me on take three, he said, Sean, he was like, I notice you're going in a little bit at an angle, and you got to watch that, because if you go in at too much of an angle, you're going to bleed out when you pull the needle out. And so for me, I'm like, oh, well, I got, no. See, you just gave me the fuel to have some fun. So, because it wasn't hurting. See, that's the thing. The needle technology is so sharp, it didn't hurt at all. So here I am, and I took this needle, and I went in at a really bad angle, and I pulled it out slow, so it kind of pulled the skin with it, and as soon as the needle popped out, blood started trickling. So that particular blood shot made it into one of the episodes, along with the others. I'm very proud to be Danny McBride's ass double, and I think they're coming back to do another season in March, and I hope I can come back and be his ass
again. Wow. That is a story you can tell the grandkids.
Exactly. I mean, look, I do hentai anime porn with giant tentacles for the children. I'm Danny McBride's ass double. I mean, you know, what more could you want out of an actor?
I'm telling you, Sean.
Basically, I'm a whore for
Sean,
the craft.
Sean, you're one of the best guests we've had in a long time, man. Thank you for coming on. This is great. Compose yourself, my friend. Compose yourself, Todd. It's only an ass. Relax.
When you say,
hey Sean, how what else do you do? You know, you're an actor. I'll do anything, basically. You know, because really, you know, you only live once, and, mm-hmm. and to get mm-hmm. in front of these people in Hollywood, sometimes you have to do things like that. You know, I won't go too far.
Well, you gotta pay your dues.
You know. Well, yeah, that was really paying my dues. but you know, hey, I was able to take a couple of months off after the show ended, and that was nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It was worth getting stuck in the ass.
Oh, I bet.
Wait a minute, that came out wrong. There's no casting couch involved in what.
Well, that's good. That's
recorded,
good.
You say
that's good. That's good. No, it's serious work that you're doing. It really is. You know, someone had to be the ass. That's just how it works.
Oh, this is just great, Joel.
It is. Sean. I mean, great show. We're having a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming on, man. And we're only halfway done, and we've already talked about tentacles and asses. This is a lot of fun. Our listeners are absolutely eating it up, my friend. They love you. Well, you know what? You're really dedicated to what you do, and we can tell that just in the passion that you tell us this stuff. You know, the way you come across.
Well, I could get everybody there an autographed copy of my ass if you'd like.
Yes, he will be doing plaster Paris remodeling.
Come on over, Joel, and I will stick you in the ass.
Well, you can go ahead, Todd. I'll leave that one all to you.
That'll be my new motto. Sean O'Rourke, he'll act for you and take it in the ass.
Crazy.
No, I don't know.
Crazy stuff.
Oh, don't make an ass out of yourself.
I just can't. I've never.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I'm just happy we're not going to get in trouble for all, you know, having fun with the, you know, dropping the A's there and all that.
Oh,
that.
Oh no, that's all good.
Dude,
that's all good.
Been in fine. Yeah, I mean, it was
don't,
worth
don't worry.
It.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll edit. Don't worry.
Just chip in and pay.
Yeah, you know, that's all. We're all good. We're all good. We're all good. Now, what was your mailing address there? No.
There's a comment coming in. Todd and Joel, you guys know how to bring out the best in people.
well, thank you. Thank you. On that note, I really got to go to break. We all do to kind of compose ourselves. When we come back, we're going to talk more serious, well, film work with Sean O'Rourke. And we'll be right back after this.
From the imagination of author Stephen Wren, radio producer for Haunted Horses Radio, and the director of Tennessee Paranormal, a new fiction series based on Pirates in the Paranormal, Jeremiah Balloon and the Amulet of the Siren. According to a recent review by ParanormalNews.com, there are misty visitors, ghost pirates, orbs of light, astral projection, secret societies, spiritualistic entities, missions of the human soul, which make it a truly enjoyable read. Now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million, Tower Books, and more. Or visit Jeremiah on the web at jeremiahbloom.com or the author, Stephen Wren, at stephenwren.com. Jeremiah Balloon, an amulet of Osiris.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did, the words of Vice President Joe Biden after Republican Scott Brown officially became the newest U.S. Senator. Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz was in the Senate chamber when Brown raised his right hand. He joins us now live.
And Senator Scott Brown, as we can call him now, got a taste of the Senate right away. His swearing-in was about 15 minutes late. As is tradition, the Vice President administered the oath.
So help you God. Thank you. Again, congratulations, man. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
And with all that, the political calculations have changed. The new math is 57 Democrats, 2 Independents, and 41 Republicans. The GOP can now filibuster, and that means Democrats may be forced to compromise more if they want legislation to pass. Chris?
Senator Brown said one of the reasons he wanted to be sworn in so quickly after the election results were certified is that he's, quote, worried we're spending beyond our means. Last week, the Senate voted to raise the debt ceiling by $1.9 trillion and did it on a 60-40 vote, so it might not have happened if Brown were there at that time. Today, though, the House joined the Senate, so the bill that increases the government's ability to borrow now goes to President Obama. That group of 10 American missionaries in Haiti now facing some serious charges.
The Americans have been charged with child kidnapping and criminal association. Most of them are with an Idaho-based church group. The Central Valley Baptist Church website says the members were taking the 30-plus kids to an orphanage in the Dominican Republic to have their medical and emotional needs met. But Haitian authorities say they did not have the proper paperwork. Their attorney says there will be no open trial. Evidence will be considered by a judge, and that could take 3 months. Each kidnapping charge could carry a maximum of 15 years in prison. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
A rugged day on Wall Street, a wave of bad economic news globally, sending the Dow into a 268-point tailspin, at one point trading below the 10,000 mark for the first time in 3 months, closing at 10,002. The S&P off by 34, the Nasdaq sliding 65. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman. Only on the Fox Business Network. We'll be right back.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
Beleaguered automaker Toyota is mulling over what to do about a brake problem with its newest model Prius gas-electric hybrid.
Toyota here in the U.S. has not made any comments, no official proclamations one way or the other, we should note. What they are saying is that this issue is separate and different from the other two existing recalls they're having right now. One where the floor mat causes the accelerator to be stuck, and another where the accelerator just sticks by itself. And the Prius 2004 to 2009 models are involved in that floor mat pedal entrapment recall, so that should be noted, but this is separate and above and beyond that.
Robert Gray with the Fox Business Network. Toyota does say it made a change in the 2010 Prius braking system last month to correct cars now in production. The government says about 37,000 already sold Priuses are the focus of the current evaluation. Well, you've been hearing that the so-called underpants bomber has been cooperating with law enforcement. Now a government official is saying Omar Farouk Abdulmutallab is actually turned against the Yemeni-based American-born cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, who claims to have been his teacher and is giving information to the FBI about al-Qaeda in Yemen. Illinois' former governor has had his indictment rewritten, but it doesn't appear to affect his legal bottom line.
This new indictment resembles the old version, including allegations that former Governor Rod Blagojevich schemed to sell or trade President Barack Obama's former U.S. Senate seat. Blagojevich denies any wrongdoing. The new version is a rewriting of the charges to avoid delays that could be caused by a controversy now in the U.S. Supreme Court over a federal statute that makes it illegal for officials to deprive taxpayers of their honest services. Critics say the statute is too vague. In Chicago, Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
His wife and doctor say he's doing fine, but nonetheless, Jeff Kepner of Augusta, Georgia, the nation's first double hand transplant recipient, is back in a Pittsburgh hospital showing symptoms of rejection. Kepner lost his hands and feet a decade ago to a bacterial infection. Chris Stanley, Fox News.
And we are back. That's right, Airstrike Radio coming right back at you. We are having just a heck of a good time with our guest, Sean O'Rourke. Sean has just been an absolute fun guest to have tonight. Not only his insight on film, but also his insight on anime, as well as being, well, a rear-end double in a movie. And that was definitely a different story to hear, but it happens all the time in Hollywood. It's part of paying your dues.
I cannot believe you just said that so professionally. I am so proud of you.
That's why I get paid the big bucks, man. That's why I get paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
So I'll start saying rear double as well.
There you go, just, rear you know. Double. That's right. Better than being the rear admiral. But to getting back to it, you know, we look at your body of work, and you have an extensive body of work. I mean, I look at the stuff you've done. You've done a little bit. You're kind of a renaissance man. You kind of do normal film, you do anime, you do, oh my gosh, TV, you name it, you're doing it. Now, you must enjoy a challenge, because that's what's saying to me right now, just look at your resume, you enjoy a good challenge.
Yeah, it's every, what I like about it is every job's different. You get to meet some of the greatest people in the world, and then some of the worst, you know, And that's always a challenge. You know, you work with, there's a lot of crazy people in Hollywood, and there's a lot of great people in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And anybody who works in the business knows that that's the case. And so, you know, you do a lot. You take your bumps and bruises, and hopefully you get to a place where I'm at now. I'm pretty happy with my career right now, and I hope that this is a huge stepping stone with the police show now on television. It's actually airing overseas, too, and in about 40 countries,
wow.
Global broadcasting. And,
wow, you are everywhere. That's a good deal. Good for you, man. Good for you. Hard work pays off.
Thank you. I'm hoping that the show, Port City PD, I'm hoping that it kind of gets that Baywatch effect, because we want to come back and do a second season. And right now we're waiting to see how it does, you know, all over the place. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's on Friday nights on AMG TV. And they're in 176 markets in the U.S., so if you've got AMG TV, you could check it out, 8:30 at night. And then we're also going to be airing on Tuff TV, which is they broadcast about 7 million households through the South and Arkansas and Texas and states like that. And it's a station that's targeted just for guys. So you got your MMA, you've got your motocross, you got the cop show, Port City PD, you got some Tuff stuff going on there, and so we're going to be on Tuff TV as well. So it's really cool to finally to create something that started off as just a podcast, a video podcast, and then have it go full circle and then be on television. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Todd, think about it. All started really, like you said, with a jog.
Yeah, that's it. A jog. A jog and an idea.
But exactly. And then, you know, with Butchered, you know, for a person to get their first movie out of the gate like this, to produce it and to work with the crew that we did and to get it done, I mean, it took a little bit longer than a conventional film. You know, it took us about, I don't know, from principal photography to the end. I mean, we had pickup days. It took about 2 years to, you know, in post-production and to finally get it out and to be the first one out of the gate and then to get a distribution deal straight to DVD where you're in every major outlet and you're on Netflix and Blockbuster online, you'd be able to, you know, drop Butchered right in the queue or, you know, go down to Walmart and pick it up too. That's huge. I mean, like, I'm kind of blown away.
Well, that's been a little bit bigger. You see a lot of those going that way now. A lot of them don't hit the big screen very long and they go straight to DVD and they make better sales. I mean, right now, of course, I think, Avatar is the most sold film at 1.8 billion or 8 billion or something, but a lot of these films,
so it's over two.
They don't.
Yeah, Avatar's over.
Yeah, Avatar is number two. Who is number one? Is it still Titanic?
No. I meant it's done. It's number one. It actually beat.
It beat Titanic.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It beat Titanic.
And
yes.
The thing about that is it took Titanic 6 months to do what Avatar did in 35 days.
Oh, that's crazy.
So it's pretty huge. I liked it. I went and saw it at the theater and I saw it in IMAX, you know, in 3D. But I don't know. I thought it was 2 hours and 40 minutes. And I thought at the 2 hour mark, I was ready to see some blue people get it on because I was getting bored. I have not seen the film yet. They kind of teased us there with the little, they started kind of like, you know, feeling on each other and getting all in it. And then it cut, and I was like, wow.
It's like, man, come on, whip them out. You got four of them, you know.
You guys don't need a good ass, do you?
Yeah, exactly. You need a blue ass. Just spray my ass blue.
Give me a call.
Beer end.
Just spray his ass. We'll slap a syringe in it, and we'll be all good to go.
Wow.
Now that's a motion picture, right?
Yes. The true life Mark McGuire story. They call you up.
Sean, would you like doing something on the big screen like that or do you like just having basically things going straight to DVD? What do you think is more productive?
I would love to have the opportunity to work on projects that are on the big screen. The thing about Port City PD and the thing about Butchered is, you know, I own the properties, you know, along with a couple of other people. So instead of when you do a show and you're working to make someone else rich, you know, I'm trying to make myself rich. So
smart.
There's the difference. But I'd be more than, I mean, of course I'd love the opportunity. And I do read. I read for stuff all the time. I just read for The Vampire Diaries, which is on the CW. I read for Army Wives. So I constantly read. My agent's always booking auditions for me. And so I'm still working. Like every actor, you know, you always have to work for your next job.
Yeah.
And so that's what the end game would be. You know, it depends on how you define success. You know, is success doing what you want to do with your life? That's how I gauge it. I don't really gauge success monetarily. So I've been having fun for 15 years and working in a great business. You know, I may not be a millionaire making millions and millions, 20 million a picture, but, you know, I feel I'm a success in my own right. And I like staying humble like that and grounded.
Yeah, that's one thing during this whole conversation we're talking. You're very, you know what, you're one of the most grounded Hollywood, quote-unquote, people that we've had on there. you know, you have a clear and decisive plan of action, and you really stick to that. I commend you for that.
Well, you know, I trust me, I've seen the crazies. I've worked on the movies with the crazies, I did the movie The Crazies that comes out. I worked with behind the scenes on that one in locations that comes out this month with Timothy Oliphant. It should be a good picture. They had some great special effects, lots of explosions and crazy zombies and stuff. So I think that's going to be a good movie. I worked on that. I think it comes out February 26th, but to the theaters. But you know, it's a very complex business and with a lot of egos and. You know, like I said before, it's tough, but if you can stay grounded, you know, I just don't know if I want to be that guy having the paparazzi follow him all around. I don't. You know, I'm happy doing what I'm doing, and you know, I just feel like I lived in L.A. for a year, and I didn't like it too much. It was a little too out there for me. You know, it's kind of like paranormal. It's weird, But yeah, no, I'm happy living at the beach in North Carolina. It's a good place to be.
Yeah, L.A. is not for everybody. That's for sure. I mean, it's a good place to drive through.
We'd be like there. If Todd and I went there, we'd be like the Clampets of Maui.
Oh man, it'd be bad. It'd be horrible. We'd go out there hunting in the middle of the city somewhere. I'd just pick off random bystanders. You know, I mean, you just don't put people like us in a concrete jungle.
No, because of that, I'd see all the people in the white coats, you know, and that'd freak me out a little bit. You know, I kind of go crazy.
A lot of doctors.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, it's L.A. is just a different, animal. You know, I mean, I remember being on the 405 and, there's four lanes one direction, four lanes the other, and then everything's locked up, and people are getting out of their cars going, what's going on? How did this just stop out of nowhere? And then you notice there's a guy trying to jump off the overpass, and there's three helicopters circling around, and everybody's thinking and looking at their watches like, dude, come on, jump so we can get where we gotta go, because this is ridiculous. And, you know, so you see things like that out there that, I don't know.
Did you park your car under them? Do you give them a target? Because then you need a new car. Come on!
No. Yeah, I should have. Hopefully the guy had insurance. That would have been great.
Come on, jump, you sissy.
But no, I think...
Jump, you sissy.
I think... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good, John. You go right ahead.
We were commenting on the guy standing on the bridge.
Just feel like I'll have Tourette's or something.
Well, I mean, you know, and then he wind up not jumping. So he just wanted 15 minutes of fame.
You know, I can't.
If you want to get on camera.
I can't handle people that can't commit.
Exactly. You know, that's when you need to just push them off.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
But you know, it was a waste of time. It was a waste of time that he even did it. And you know, it's crazy. But you know, when I lived in L.A. There's a certain mentality. This is just one person's perception, so I can't say that I speak for everyone, because there's a lot of great people in Los Angeles. But when I was out there, I felt like a lot of the people cared more about walking red carpets and being on the covers of magazines than actually like doing movies. Where like people on the East Coast, New York actors, you know, East Coast actors, they want to work. They want to knock out like, you know, five movies in a year. They want to pull a Michael Caine.
Yeah,
they want to be like Michael Caine and do like 10 movies a year and then kick back. And it just seems like they just cared about paparazzi and being a celebrity out there. And it didn't seem like they wanted to work. And I couldn't understand that. I couldn't wrap my head around that mentality because I come from I just have a really strong work ethic. And I don't give up on any project and I don't, you know, and that's just the way I am. And it just turned me off. And I was happy to come back to the East Coast.
It's not unlike radio. You know, we find a lot of that in radio. I mean, heck, if these guys don't want to work, get into radio. You know, it's, yep. Go ahead, sir.
But I was going to say, you guys get to hang out, you guys are in different locations, right?
We're 700 miles away from each other.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah, see, How brilliant is that? I mean, because if you were in a booth together and you, you know, sometimes you might come in, you forget the underarm deodorant, and you know, you, one sit next to you, and then they smell the bad breath. And, you know, I've got friends in radio, you know, and
yes, we don't shave for months.
You got to watch that. So it's good that you're 700 miles apart.
Yeah. It is a good thing. It is a very good thing. That we're 700 miles apart because, quite honestly, the world couldn't handle us together.
No, they couldn't. That's a lot of smegma.
Smegma.
Smegma. But at least you guys can fart in your own peace and not worry about
that's
bothering
true.
Somebody next to you. Well, hold on, wait a second. I got to back that up because,
yes,
he's not in the room anymore.
See, yeah, but I got the live studio audience sat there in front of me, so I'm kind of held captive. I'm like a little guy being poked at a stick in a cage.
Yes, I'm in a private studio.
Well, just light a match. Just light a match, okay? We'll get it.
Yeah, follow the mushroom cloud.
Follow the mushroom. Todd just blew up. I can see it all the way here from Minnesota. Damn it! Got to break in another co-host. I could see that coming from a mile away. But getting back into your work and what you do in the movie and in the film industry, do you feel almost threatened as an actor, you know, a live actor, when you see a movie like Avatar do so well with no real actors?
Well, it's always been one of those things that, there were rumors that a couple of years back that they were trying to do a movie with George Burns as a complete CGI character. And I think there's a line, you know, as long as it's these blue people and creatures and things like that, I don't think it's too much of an issue because, you know, Avatar has got it's obviously had its audience, but, you know, you can't do that, but only so many times. I just read the other day George Lucas is looking at doing like an Avatar-type film, but with fairies, and it's going to be a musical. And I'm not kidding. I was reading this.
Wow.
And,
San Francisco,
so
here we come.
Lucas, God, he can screw
up. You mean like Tinkerbell busting a move? That kind of musical?
Maybe. because, like I said, Lucas can ruin a childhood. Let's see what happens.
He can ruin a childhood. Work, children, work.
I'll admit, I was pissed when I was 10. I was upset when I found out there was no such thing as a land speeder. Yeah, I was upset. Yeah, it ruined my job.
Yeah. I met George quite a few years ago. There was a movie called Radio Land Murders that was being shot in North Carolina, and Mel Smith was the director, and his visa had expired, and Lucasfilm had produced the film. It flopped. It didn't do very well, but George came in because his visa expired and had to continue the filming. It was only maybe a week or something like that. And so and this was before The Phantom Menace. This was quite a few years before The Phantom Menace. And I remember I was pacing for hours going, God, I got to talk to this guy. You know, this is a guy, you know, the Star Wars movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, these are my heroes. And I remember trying to think of this whole thing I wanted to tell him. And I finally walked up to him. I was like, Mr. Lucas, can I have a minute of your time? And he said, yeah. And he was a lot shorter than when I was a kid. You know, you watch on TV and you see him in interviews and you think he's so big, but he's really small. And, I said to him, I said, hey, listen, you know, you were the reason why I got into this business. I want to thank you for that. And, you know, Steven Spielberg as well, that, you know, you guys were my idols. And he said, thank you. And then a few years later, The Phantom Menace came out, and I thought, God, if I could replay that moment again, I would have just punched him in the face.
Knocked a couple teeth out. You bastard! Take that! You destroyed it! No!
Man.
I would like to kick him in the shins.
Yeah, right. You smack the gullet, or whatever the thing that hangs underneath his chin. I don't know what that is.
A gullet.
I'm waiting for Jar Jar to come out of that one day.
A clucker.
The Jar Jar to come out. Well, you look at the film industry, and you look at what you're doing, a lot of independent stuff, and that, it says it all. It's independent, and does being independent, there's got to be a lot more creative control with what you're doing than if you had a studio looking over your shoulder.
There is a lot more creative control, but unfortunately, because you're dealing with extremely lower budgets, you don't get the creative flexibility to shoot the things that you want to shoot. You know, you instead of getting 3 days of helicopter shots, you're forced to get one. So you're flying around with a helicopter guy going, get that damn dolphin that's jumping out of the ocean, or go get this, and you're seeing whatever's there, and you're like, just shoot that. And, you know, you kind of have your game plan when you go up in a helicopter, but, you know, you can only get what you can get.
Yeah,
and
but
so
you guys can...
That's what happens. It limits you creatively on the independent level.
You guys can make a lot of your own props and things, though. I mean, you can just take a lot of, you know, makeshift props and things like that, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure you can, you know, get a little shot.
Yeah, we do. And we've got great prop guys. I've got a great friend of mine, Mark McCoy, who did the props on Butchered. And he made a fantastic axe, and he made a chest piece where someone got stabbed with an axe, and you know, and he is a professional prop builder. So mm-hmm. I was able to get resources and use those resources on an independent level, you know, without having the studio tapping you on the shoulder, going, we don't think you should do that. So yeah, you do get to be a little bit more creative. You don't have somebody telling you what to do.
Well, I mean, a good example, Sean, look at Mr. Bill. Mr. Bill's not but Play-Doh. Look how far that guy went.
Very true.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, Mr. Bill. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
He was
probably the worst impression of Mr. Bill you've ever heard. Or whatever.
I want to see Mr. Bill the Uzi.
Well, didn't he? He got shot up on one of those Saturday Night Lives.
Oh, he did. But I want him to do the shooting now. Mr. Bill arises from the ashes.
He's bad and turned back into flour. I mean, it was horrible.
It was horrible. It was a horrible moment for everybody.
Usually he's run over and smashed or something. They obliterated the guy. Mm. His little beady arms flew off.
Yeah, that is definitely.
Well, Robot Chicken do something with Mr. Bill, too? I vaguely remember seeing them do something.
Mr. Bill's become the new Kenny lately, I guess. Oh my God, you killed Bill.
We'll just roll him over to the next set.
Well, that's kind of what Kenny's molded after is Bill.
Yeah.
And then you know, they're kind of slamming Gumby a little bit now, too.
They gotta.
Yeah, look at Gumby. I mean, you gotta love Gumby, idiot.
Come on. Holy cow.
Everybody
loves Gumby, damn it.
Holy cow. That's more like it for you there, Todd. But no, Gumby was great. Mr. Bill was great. But I don't know. I kind of, you know, when you're doing a film like Butchered, when you're doing a lot of these newer films, is it hard to afford, like, CGI? Is that something really hard to afford on your budget?
Yeah, and you know what? You know, we did do a little CG kind of thing in one of the episodes of Port City PD, and at the independent level, you know, it's hard to pull off CGI, so mm-hmm. we kind of stay away from it as much as possible. And do everything practically, which I think stuff's better practically, man. When you know a car is blowing up on screen, mm-hmm. it's badass.
Yep.
You know? And when you see one that's CG, you know it's... But the thing about it is we've got several generations now of kids that have been raised with these video games. They don't know the difference between the, you know, that type of CGI, and they just relate it to regular...
Right. It's like Firecracker versus Adam Bomber.
Exactly, like the Sci-Fi Channel has the worst, God bless them, CGI I've ever seen on these sci-fi movies.
Those movies,
but the kids accept it.
Yeah. They do accept it. They do accept it because you know it's part of it's part of filmmaking. And I remember when stop motion was the big thing in movies for all the effects.
Right, like the Sinbad and the Ray Harryhausen, right? All that stuff back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, I mean, stop motion looked great when we were kids, and it was just as compelling as CGI is today.
Yeah, now you got these different camera angles. Those things are whipping around. You got the whole Matrix situation there, where they're punching 50,000 miles an hour, and you can see it speeding bullets. And I mean, to me, I can't watch a lot of movies like that. I mean, I'll just take that out and I'll slap in, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh yes, good Toby Hooper classic.
Yeah, I mean that's something because it's too much. You know, you're going there for entertainment.
You know what? Guys, I agree with you guys with that, because when we shot Butchered, we shot it with the intent to do it like the original Halloween and the original Texas Chainsaw, because that still scares the piss out of me.
You know, it
almost has a documentary feel to it, you know, because, you know, it was shot on, it was probably shot on 16, I would think, and, you know, it just has that dirty, real feel to it, and we went in that direction with Butchered, and one of the things I've never been too thrilled with, and there's movies like Hellraiser and things like that where gore is perfect for that film, but they've gotten so over the top with the gore, it's desensitized. You don't get scared when you see somebody with a metal cage over their head that snaps and kills them. I've seen Saw 1 and 2, but I never saw anything after that because it just didn't interest me.
It does,
when we did Butchered, when we did Butchered, we did it in a style that reflects the films of the late 70s and 80s where, you know, a jump is more of a scare, or when you see the axe come down out of frame and you hear the scream that carries over into the next scene, you know, it's implied. You know, the scary thing is when you don't see it. I mean, and you hear it. And we do have some gory parts in Butchered, but we also, I wanted to see that type of integrity in the film where it wasn't all gore. You know, my mother, she always watches movies with her hand over her face, and she always cracks them open and looks with one eye because she doesn't like the gory stuff. So I also kind of wanted my mother to see this as well and not be hiding her face going, oh, God, they got needles all over the place. My mother, she sounds like Jerry Lewis. She was born and raised in Manhattan. Oh, my God, Sean, I can't believe you made this movie.
You and the blood and the guts and the this and the that. When are you ever going to stop?
That's my mother. She's, oi, guy, like, oh, I can't believe you. Oh, Sean. So, anyway, she'll kill me when she hears it. Oh, my God.
On that note, we got to go ahead and take the last break of the show. We come back. More with Sean O'Rourke. We're going to talk everything from a little bit of Paranormal Activity to the Blair Witch Project. You name it. Let's get into it, and we'll be right back.
Since 1948, Fate magazine has delivered a one-of-a-kind reading experience, covering everything from psychics, UFOs, paranormal investigations, and more. For more information, visit FateMag.com or call 1-800-728-2730. That's 1-800-728-2730. Fate magazine, true reports of the strange and unknown.
Way down south, the sun shining With Vonage, you can enjoy unlimited local and long-distance calling for as low as $24.99 a month. Vonage gives you more than just a great price. Free calls to landlines in select European countries. International calling for as low as pennies per month. 25-plus premium features including voicemail, caller ID, and call waiting. 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can keep your existing number for life. Simply visit www.vonage.com/friend and enter the HVRN Vonage line, 618-215-2136. And not only can you help Haunted Voices Radio, you can receive up to 2 free months of service. Again, just visit vonage.com/friend and enter 618-215-2136 for your free 2 months of service. And thanks for listening from the Haunted Voices Radio Network.
You're listening to your home of stimulating talk radio. Airstrike Radio.
Welcome back to Airstrike Radio. We are talking all things Hollywood with, well, you know, a guy that is really a renaissance man, as we alluded to earlier, Sean O'Rourke. He does it all. Been there and done that. And then some, we found out that he has done a lot of obscure work, some big stuff, some little stuff. I mean, the guy is absolutely talented. But when we were leaving, we were talking about films like The Blair Witch Project and Paranormal Activity, which has, well, a tag on it saying it was made for $15,000. Is that indeed the truth?
It was made for, I think, anywhere between $11,000 and $15,000. But what people don't realize is that Paramount bought it from them for $350,000. Then it sat on a shelf for like 2 years. They were going to actually remake it with a $40 million.
Yeah, a $40 million budget. Wow. That, did we lose them, Todd?
What?
Sean.
I don't know what. Sean? Over?
Over, Sean. Are you there, Sean? Well, we're going to go ahead and take another break. We'll be right back after we figure out our little technical difficulty.
Wow, the hell is that?
Get the tools you need to create content for every design discipline in one offering, the Adobe Creative Suite 3 Master Collection. The Master Collection combines the latest versions of Adobe InDesign, Photoshop Extended, Illustrator, Acrobat 8 Professional, Flash Professional, Dreamweaver, Fireworks, Contribute, After Effects Professional, Premiere Pro, Encore, and Sound Booth. And when it comes to audio, Adobe Audition...
Backtrack before we go any further. Isn't there a donation button on the website there so that people can donate to the show, because obviously the equipment needs to be upgraded. No, I'm just kidding. But no, please. This has been a great show, and I encourage all the listeners to hit that donate button and send some money their way. But yeah, we were talking about Paranormal Activity, and we were talking about how it costs $15,000. They keep throwing that number out, but you know, Paramount bought it for $350,000. It sat on a shelf for a couple of years. They were going to remake it for $40 million, and then the recession hit, and they decided to spend $10 million in marketing, which really puts the budget for the film at $10.3 million. When you look at it in from a financial aspect, they did a great job marketing, and they even went back, as per Spielberg. He had a couple suggestions on how to reshoot the ending, and they came up with the ending that stuck. And it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But now Paramount has wised up to the success. It did $107 million. Unfortunately, they didn't buy the overseas rights, so they only had the U.S. domestic rights. So, you know, it was sold to somebody else to make money overseas. So Paramount is probably losing on that deal. Mm-hmm. But they made $107 million and counting, that not including DVD sales.
That's
and
not
they
bad.
Decided to make 10 $100,000 movies they just grabbed, you know, some money and put it aside, and they're going to make $10,000-$100,000 movies, which is great because it'll, you know, you'll have to get young actors, you'll have to get actors that are unknown, which opens up doors for a lot of people that are not the $20 million paydays, which, you know, God bless Hollywood, but it seems like, there's a lot of movies where people get paid an inordinate amount of money and their films are not as successful as a small turnkey operation like spending $100,000 and making a good product, mm-hmm. which you can make a good product for $100,000. I can attest to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when Blair Witch hit, the mm-hmm. you know, all the media hype that had behind it. I mean, they had full-length documentaries about how the, you know, never telling you this story wasn't true, but they never said it was true either. You know, they'd have these long documentaries saying, you know, the footage is found a week later by some hiker or what have you, of these kids.
Yeah. They played it well. They played it real well.
They did.
They did it. People were trying to find that town. They were combing the U.S. looking for that town.
Yeah, and that town was pissed.
Viral campaign.
That town was pissed.
What the hell? Get out of here.
There was, when you watch that Blair Witch 2, that's where it explains on how screwed up what the first one did. You know, mm-hmm. it foobarred the entire town. I mean, we're talking sheriffs with, shotguns. Nothing's here. Nothing's bad here. Get away. Berkowitz or something like that.
Yeah.
Right, but you see what happens when Hollywood decided to go, ooh, let's spend real money on a sequel and make it a movie versus what they did with the handheld and having a good viral marketing campaign. You know, the second one tanked.
Yeah, it did. It did. It was horrible.
Not a successful film.
It didn't go anywhere.
No, it was horrible. That thing was a stinker.
And you know, they greenlit the paranormal sequel. They've greenlit it. And, they're going to throw some money at it this time. And it'll be interesting to see if it does has the same demise as the Blair Witch franchise.
Well,
now I keep hearing that they're going to try to bring it back and do another Blair Witch.
Oh. A lot of people like that. I enjoyed that Paranormal Activity. A movie that makes me kind of jump back, you know, for low budget what it was. I mean, I did. I jumped. My wife and I watched it together there, and I jumped back. And of course, she grabbed me. I mean, it's your typical date, great movie, you know.
It made my wife physically ill, Todd, where she actually went and vomited.
Did she?
Yeah.
Well, are you sure that wasn't the shaky camera work?
That's what it was, too. Every time she watches them. Yeah.
When I saw the Blair Witch in the theater, I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that had motion sickness because of that. That is true. And in preparation for that, my wife and I both took 2 Dramamine prior to watching the film. Yeah, and you got to do that.
Did you see a midnight showing of it?
No.
No, you didn't go to a midnight showing of it? Because, see, that's where all the hype came from, was these midnight shows. And, see, these college kids, they drink, they drop acid, you know, at midnight, and they go out, and they watch these movies, and they're seeing shit. And it really was, scaring them. So there's a lot of, you know, the test audience and stuff like that, they don't tell you that all these midnight showings, you know, it was drunk people.
That
you know,
was a good time.
Going, I got motion sickness. I saw this ghost in it. No, it was. I'm kidding.
You just having a bad acid trip. That was
an attempt.
Yeah,
that was my bad acting. That was an attempt to make a joke that didn't work. So we're gonna move on.
It worked. I guarantee they're dropping acid in theaters. It's happening.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. it has to. It has to happen.
I mean, you know, you're there, it's quiet, nobody's looking. You can have your own reactions. You can have a seizure right there and get out of it. Well, nobody's going to see anything.
Well, Avatar is proof. Come on, that's an acid trip without acid.
It is. I couldn't follow the trailer. All these bugs or whatever the hell those things are jumping around like little hermit flies. I don't get it. I don't know. I like movies with
poops. Well, let me ask you this. What are your favorite paranormal shows that are on television? Like, there's this one that I think is so fake, but I might be wrong, but I swear it's like just a couple of rednecks run around the woods with a camera and they pretend things are happening. But I don't know. But what shows do you guys like when it comes to the paranormal stuff? Because I really need to brush up on my paranormal.
Well, you can definitely name the show if you're afraid to. We definitely name names in this show. We're not afraid to. I think you're referring to Ghost Lab, right? The couple of rednecks running around?
I think they're like a team. It's like brothers. And they
they're in the big truck.
And then they pretend that somebody's scratching at it. I don't know, man. To me, it seems totally conjured up just, you know, kind of in the realm of Paranormal Activity, the movie. And I just, you know, because there's a couple other shows. I don't know if that's on True TV or True Network, but, and I hate to name that network, but there's a couple of shows in there that are completely scripted. Now, I did a Discovery Channel show called Swamp Logging.
Okay.
And they're all reality shows are scripted. Don't let anybody kid you. There's a field producer out there, and he's writing the script. And, you know, we did this show called Swamp Logging, and this father and son team, they log all these, obviously they log out of the swamp, but they actually were trying to make these guys fight because it was so harmonious, and the father and son got along so well. They were like, they would bait them, you know, the crew. And I have a friend of mine who, actually Charles Stewart Jr., he did an episode of Bridezilla, and I remember him telling me that everything was going great, and they had to pull the groom aside and go, "Will you start a fight with somebody?
Oh my God!
You got to make it interesting."
That's bad.
No, I kid you. I kid you not.
I don't watch.
That's why I hate battle.
I don't watch
reality television.
Yeah,
I would rather sit there and watch a Billy Mays infomercial.
Yeah, come on, poor Billy. No, but I don't watch it either. I hate paranormal television. I hate it. It sucks. Get off
there. I did see Paranormal Cops, and for any amount there, Paranormal Cops is it's stable but yet unstable, but it's probably one of the better ones out there that are out there.
Okay.
Some, you know, when you start shoving fist up horses and stuff on this haunted thing, that's when I got turned off by that. Mm. You know,
Now I'll tell you what, living in Wilmington, North Carolina, we've got the battleship, the North Carolina. And man, that thing is truly haunted. I'm just going to tell you that right off the bat. You know, we've gone in there quite a few times over the years, and you know, there's a section of the engine room that's completely sealed off, but man, you can hear things going on in there. And they talk about, you know, that was one of the ships that, you know, in World War II that it saw some pretty good action, I think, at Midway. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, people died on the deck and things like that. And that place is haunted. So if you're ever in Wilmington, North Carolina, you got to visit the battleship because that is just.
Yeah, definitely. Todd and I were both paranormal investigators on the side as well as doing radio. So I could, we could tell you some ghost stories that would make you freak, and they're true, and we have evidence to back them up.
I was completely skeptical about the whole thing. I didn't believe in any of this stuff. None of it. You get your own personal experience. Once you see something, once you witness, you can't go back. You can't say, okay, I didn't believe that. No, no, because next thing you know, you're strapped down to a table with soft restraints, and you're being spoon-fed medicine.
Well, right now, I got to tell you, I'm working a case that makes Paranormal Activity look pretty tame.
I believe it too, and you know what? It's what I find interesting is how can you capture it on film? That's the thing that, you know, you've got a case, and you can you really capture these things on film? You know, people, you see photos where people go, there's an orb and this and that and the other, and you know what it, you know,
orbs are dirt, my friend. Orbs are dirt.
I'm intrigued by it.
9 times out of 10, orbs are dirt. You know, it's not real. It's someone that doesn't know what they're doing with a camera. Trying to capture something that's paranormal. What do you think, Todd? You think orbs are most of the time dirt?
Yeah, in the years, many years I've been doing this, many photographs I've seen of the orb phenomena, I would say 3 at best that I would even consider being an orb. 3.
Yeah, so, I don't even think I've seen
that. I'll tell you what. I truly believe in crop circles. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I mean,
yeah.
No kidding aside, you know, I think I'm pretty damn sure that they're there, and that they, you know, they're some sort of craft coming down and making, you know, doing what they're doing. I mean, sure, you got the hoaxers out there, but I don't know, man. Some of these designs that happen overnight that blow my mind, and so it's either that or the documentaries I've watched on them have been very convincing. So
I got to tell you, Sean, I'm way more afraid of UFOs than I am ghosts, to be honest, to perfectly honest with you. Because ghosts aren't going to take you to Mars and get heinous with the old anus there.
Well, I don't know. I just, my personal feeling, you know, and, you know, is that to me is more real, X-File-ish paranormal than than the ghost thing. But I don't know, because I've never, but I'll tell you what, my sister, I'll tell you a quick story. My sister used to play with a Ouija board when we were young. And this is when we lived in New Jersey. And she said at an early age that there was someone in the ceiling. Now we had, it was an apartment that had the ceiling tile that you pushed up and you kind of look and see above. And she said that there was this ghost named Fingers that would talk to her all the time. Now this is when my sister was probably 10 or 11. And it was her childhood friend, this ghost named Fingers that lived in the ceiling. And when we moved, not too long after we moved out of that building, now some people could say, hey, it was just a coincidence, it was bad, the building was just bad, but the ceiling completely collapsed after, and you know, we think in hindsight, my sister says, well, you know, Fingers was mad that we left. And then we weren't in the house anymore.
He gave me the finger.
And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm not blowing smoke. This is real. Like, my sister believed this. And, you know, I don't know. It could be just coincidence, but it was really creepy growing up.
That does sound very creepy. You know, number one, Ouija boards are usually a recipe for disaster, especially in the wrong hands. And number two, I believe your story, man. I totally do. There's weird things out there in this world.
Right.
That cannot be explained.
Yeah, and my mom hated the Ouija board in the house. Totally hated it. Didn't want it in the house. But, you know, my sister, she had seen the movie The Exorcist and wanted to explore and do that kind of stuff. I don't know. We did it one time, and I don't think it ever moved or did anything. I mean, to me, it was just silly. But she believed in this thing, and it was really creepy. But my sister's a little out there, too. She's kind of, you know, she's a great person, but she may have, I don't know if both paddles are in the water.
Well, if Fingers came after you, you might, if Fingers came after you, you might not be as stable as you are today.
Well, I'm hoping he's still up in that apartment building in Jersey, and is tormenting someone else.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting to follow up to whoever's living in that apartment and see if they've had any paranormal experiences.
Well, what you need to do is you need to go on a paranormal investigation.
And I can bring my camera crew. I can bring my guys.
There you go. We can make that happen. We can make that happen for you. We could do it with you.
Hey, you know, I mean, Bayonne, New Jersey. This is where we're talking about. You know, it's if you remember seeing the movie War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise, when the bridge like blows up in the beginning, that's the Bayonne Bridge that was in the film. They were. That's where they were at, but that was where I grew up until I was about 8 years old, and you know, it would be interesting to go back there. Last time I drove through Bayonne, I think I drove fast and had bulletproof glass, but we might be able to go back there. I don't know how it looks today, but it was on its way down when I was there.
Maybe the community, maybe the neighborhood watch finally kicked in.
Yeah, that's what happened,
and now it's a clean place.
I hope so.
Yeah, you know, people say enough is enough, but as far as the paranormal stuff that you're talking about, no, there are ghosts. There are absolutely ghosts. I have proof there's ghosts. Todd has proof there's ghosts. So the story about someone in the ceiling fingers the ghost absolutely could be true. You know, I don't doubt it for a second.
You know, you try to weigh out all the scientific facts first. You try to debunk your own self. You have to. You got to be 50-50.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to be skeptical yourself. You have to. You're going to get run over. So it's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a gamble. But, you know, it's that 98% can be explained. It's that 2% that we're looking for.
Yep.
Small
2%. Well, I don't know. It would be very interesting to do a follow up on that and just to see maybe the people who are living in the building, because the building's still there. I'm pretty sure it's still there.
Well, go in there with
very interesting to do that. Wow, we got all serious. We were talking about
not really. I was just
and then we got actually, all serious, man.
I was about to say you can actually roll into this place and you may come across a zombie with a penis in his mouth.
That's
you
right.
You don't know what you're going to find in this kind of investigation.
We don't know what's in the ceiling. It definitely could have been a zombie holding a banana penis that tore down the ceiling.
Yes, he's all mad. I dated a girl named Lorena, and this is what happened to me.
Chiquita.
I'm going to get my script writing team on that tomorrow. We're going to write that.
Just go in there and say, hey, Fingers, I got one for you.
Fingers.
Yeah, hey, Fingers, come hold my banana penis.
Yeah, come here, Fingers. You know, I'll give you the five-finger discount. I'll give you the five-finger discount.
And then we'll throw in a giant anime tentacle.
I would. Just for good measure.
Oh, jeez. Don't even tell me what you're going to do with the damn banana peel. My God.
Undressing the banana.
Oh,
wow.
Look at that. That's
so we've come full circle. We went from that to Sirius to back to the banana.
Oh, yeah.
When everyone hears this, and they're just going to know, they're going to talk about is banana penis. So this is my butt being shot with a syringe. So this has made my year.
This has been great. Man.
This has been a great interview.
I haven't been away from a show with a headache in a long time. This is great.
Well, I should do this all the time then.
Yeah,
I'll be your court jester. Just call me up anytime.
Sure,
I'll pull out some crazy stories I can tell you about the celebrities I've worked with, and it'll be fun.
Whenever Joel and I have the flu, we'll get you on the show. We'll just sit here and talk, and this is great.
In all seriousness, Shada, I'm sure we could work something out like that. Have you on every now and again, and to kind of let you have fun with us and talk about banana penises and Fingers the ghost in the ceiling. Okay. I mean that in all seriousness. I think it'd be great.
I think so too, Joel. I think it's awesome.
Definitely. Definitely.
I'd love that. That'd be awesome.
But, we got about 4 minutes left of the show. It's flown by so quickly. Where can people find you? Where can they get your works? All that kind of good stuff, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You know, I got a lot of people that are counting on things taking off, and I'm hoping to employ a lot of people and put people to work, and so a lot of that rides on whether or not certain projects do well, and so I hope that they do, and I hope your listeners are out there, and if they're interested in Butchered, they can buy it, or if they don't want to buy it, just throw it in the Netflix queue. Check it out. It's a good little movie. Kick back with a beer, check it out, and have a bunch of friends over and have a big party.
True.
That's how I'm. When it's that kind of movie. It's not going to win an Oscar. But it is what it is. It's got everything you need. It's got beautiful, sexy women. That are nude, and it's got a serial killer. It's got blood. It's got everything a horror fan is going to want to see. Well, so if you're a horror fan out there and you like these kind of movies, you're going to have a fun with Butchered.
Well, what we'll do is I'll get my we'll get our producer to give you our phone numbers, and if you're seriously considering doing anything in the paranormal way when it comes to movies, TV, we'd be happy to almost be your advisors.
Hey, you know what? We've got police consultants on Court City PD that we use all the time. We've got a retired Long Island police officer, Tom Flynn, and we've got people that we work with. Hotsburger's another guy; he's a cop. And so, I would love if I did a paranormal movie. You guys would be my go-to guys because, anytime you do any kind of script. Especially if there's any kind of subject matter that's out there, you have to explore it. There's a lot of actors out there. Jodie Foster is real big on, going back and researching a character, and a lot of Hollywood people, do research characters in depth and the subject matter. And you guys are going to be my paranormal go-to guys.
Oh man, thanks. Thanks a ton.
Appreciate that. I really, really appreciate it.
On that note.
Get the tools you need to create content for every design discipline in one offering, the Adobe Creative Suite 3 Master Collection. Master Collection combines the latest versions of Adobe InDesign, Photoshop Extended, Illustrator, Acrobat 8 Professional, Flash Professional, Dreamweaver, Fireworks, Contribute, After Effects Professional, Premiere Pro, Encore, and Soundbooth. And when it comes to audio, Adobe Audition software is the all-in-one tool set for professional audio production. Whether you are recording, mixing, editing, or mastering. And the HVRN Corporation is a proud beta tester of Adobe software. Thinking multimedia? Think Adobe.com.
And you know, when I'm driving down Route 9W on a hot summer day, me and the missus always stop at Dickens Fruit Stand. They've got everything from fruit to vegetables, homemade pies, but there is nothing like their cider. Ain't that right, honey?
Uh-huh.
Dickens Cider. Yes, sirree. Why, even though we were late for church last Sunday, she had to have a little Dickens Cider.
Uh-huh.
She says there ain't nothing like it. Even my minister says his wife enjoys a little Dickens Cider now and then. Hey, why don't you bring some home in our protective plastic rib bottle? That way it'll stay fresh. Or you can let it sit a while and have some hard Dickens Cider.
Uh-huh.
It's good at lunch, good at dinner, and there's nothing like waking up with a Dickens Cider. Dickens Fruit Stand, just off Route 9W and Country Road 69. Open 24 hours, because after a chilly summer night, I like to snuggle up in bed with a hot Dickens Cider.
Hello?
Hi, Mildred, it's Betty. What are you up to?
Oh, just trying to find some information on ghosts. There's so many sites to choose from, I don't even know where to start.
Have I got the place for you. It's called hauntedvoices.com, and they got all the info you could ever need.
Really?
Yeah, they even have free EVP lessons. You know, like they showed in that movie with Mikey Keaton.
Oh, the spirit voices.
That's the one. And they have live chats each Monday night at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. They got special guests and everything.
What's the site again?
It's hauntedvoices.com.
Thanks, Betty. Gotta run now.
Where to?
Where do you think? The hauntedvoices.com.
You're listening to Airstrike Radio Online with your hosts, Joel Sturgis and Todd Bates. Airstrike Radio is your home for alternative talk radio, the show for everything from pop culture to politics and all things in between. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here at airstrikeonline.com.
Wow, what a great interview with Sean O'Rourke, huh? Huh, Todd?
That was fantastic, Joel. I mean, so easy to talk to, so open-minded. We could just go for hours with this guy. Talk about, we went from the color blue to asses in syringes. You know,
it was,
I mean,
crazy. And don't forget about the Japanese porn anime.
Yeah, the porn anime with the tentacles. And then Ben draws the picture. You know how fast he draws this stuff.
Oh, yeah,
he drew the picture of me sitting in the chair with the tentacle coming up from behind me. And
we're gonna flash
for the webcam.
We're going to have to start calling Ben tentacles. Or actually, we're going to have to start calling him fingers. but we got a big giveaway on tap, don't we, bud?
Yes, we do. We have got an awesome giveaway here, folks. Now, you know, this is such a great show. You know, I normally save these for reserves. Like, a lot of these aren't reserves, but I save them because these are hard to come by, because you very, very seldom get these two guys together. Our sponsor is Midnight Syndicate, okay? MidnightSyndicate.com. Now, they just got a new movie coming out themselves. It's called The Dead Matter. It's been previewed, but it hadn't hit DVD. They're in the works with some big screen promoters as well. But I've got an autographed copy of The Dead Matter, Cemetery Gates. Okay, it's an awesome. It's their newest album. It's just an awesome, awesome album. Also, a copy of Gavin Gosca's Parlor Muse, which is kind of like Victorian style music. It's got the upbeat kind of stuff to it. You know, you really like it. Everybody really likes that. It's good mood music. And an autographed Parlor Muse poster from Gavin Gosca.
Matt, so it does not get bigger than that.
No, that is a nice parting gift for an awesome show.
Yeah, man. Dude, that's huge. I can't thank those guys enough. They support us like crazy. Midnight Syndicate guys. And the conversation I had with them recently, they couldn't believe we're working together now, and they almost...
They're loving it.
They're loving it. And so thank you guys for everything you do. With no further ado, I suppose we should get to it, huh?
Yeah, you know, let's get to it. You know, there's I can make something simple. Pick a number between 1 and 7, Joel.
Okay.
Okay, now you have to say that number, Joel.
I do? Okay. 1 and 7, we're gonna go 12. Oh no, wait a minute, 5.
5?
Yep, 5.
Right, we're gonna take caller 5. Take caller 5 right now, 877-216-2987. That's 877-216-2987. Outside the U.S., call us direct, 618-421-4280. Caller number 5, toll free. The numbers are there in the chat room over there at kelseylive.com. And I went ahead and opened up the other chat room there on voice.com as well. I guess we are going to run both of those, so wherever you guys want to go. So the fifth caller at 877-216-2987 receives an autographed copy of Midnight Syndicate's brand new album, The Dead Matter, and a Parlor Muse album. Caller one, keep trying. And a Parlor Muse album and an autographed Parlor Muse poster.
Man, people are also buzz about tomorrow night's show.
Oh, yeah.
With the live haunted remote.
That's going to be sweet. That is going to be sweet. And
that was 2, right?
And your caller 2. Keep trying.
You say it so optimistically. And you are not the caller we're looking for. Why don't you go ahead and try again?
Holy cow. I'll do the Walter Cronkite answer. Here we go.
And that's the way it is. Come on.
And you're caller number 3, and that's because you're not number 5, and that's just the way it is.
Yes, and it's tough. Things are tough all over.
Caller 3 down. We're looking for 2 more callers.
Jeez, it's free stuff. Sorry. Annette is free stuff. I'm surprised.
Having problems, capsule. Anchor caller 4. Keep trying. And I think here comes 5. And welcome to Airstrike Radio. You're live in the air. You're calling number 5. Where are you calling from? Really? You know, I've been there twice. Have a nice day.
I can't even hear him.
And welcome to Airstrike Radio. You're calling number 5. Where are you calling from?
North Carolina.
No, Steffi!
Steffi! Hey there, honey.
Hey,
how you doing?
You made it through.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're caller 6, so have a nice day.
Okay.
Now, see, you won it, hon. You got it.
Thank you.
You got it. You don't have any.
I'm carrying the fuss a little bit.
It's about time you won, because normally you don't win. And you get frustrated, and you go out and beat up the mailman.
Yeah, that's right.
But now you won. You got the poster. You got the autographed album. You got the Parlor Muse album. What do you think of that?
That sounds good.
Now, of course, we won't be able to ship it to you until November of 2012.
Yeah.
due to funding situations. But the important thing is that you did win.
So, well, thank you.
We'll get that shipped out. As soon as our funds get back up, hon, we are going to get all these shipped out. You don't worry.
All right. I'll send you my information.
Okay. Thank you so much, hon.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Bye-bye.
All right. Cool. Steffi won.
Yeah, she never wins anything, Joel.
Sweet. I'm glad she won. I'm stoked. I'm stoked that she won, man. But you know what? I think it's just about time to put another one to bed, don't you?
I do.
I'm getting tired. I laughed so hard, I'm actually tired now.
Me too, Joel.
It was a great show. Great show. Thank you, everybody, for participating in the show. Thank you, everybody, that listened. I want to thank Jamie Hayes, a producer. I want to thank Christina, our PR girl. I also want, well, I shouldn't say girl, our PR woman. She works very hard, as well as Gina, that's always out there getting the newsletter out there. I want to make sure all these people that don't always get their due right now. Thank you guys so much for all the hard work you do for us to make us look good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'd look like crap without you, trust me. Need each and every one of you. Keep up the great work, and thank you so very much for helping us out.
I can't thank you guys enough. You guys are all really a big part of what we're doing here. And with no further ado, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. And we will see you guys next Tuesday and then next Thursday. But don't forget the Haunted Remote tomorrow night, Haunted Voices Radio. I will be putting life and limb on the line for your entertainment. Control
Extensor Ryan Eastern with the remote investigation.
That's right. That's right. Putting life and limb on the line. But until next time, folks, have a good one.
Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound. You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Sit quietly and we will control all that can hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure.